Hello and welcome to the Pop Console Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Jacob. And this week I am going to talk about my top 10 favorite games of all time. This list is subject to change and probably as soon as I'm done recording will be incorrect in my own head. But actually, I'm definitely going to pause this, write it down briefly, and then discuss because I forgot to do that. Okay, so I wrote down the top 10 that just popped into my head. Games I think about a lot, games I would replay easily, you know, all kinds of genres, but games just they're just there. I don't even know if I can qualify or really tell you why they're there. Some of them, the number really doesn't fucking matter for most of them. Except for maybe number 1, 2, and 3. The rest are just kind of there. But these are there because I put them there. And, you know, when websites make top 10 lists, top 100 lists, top games of all time, it's dumb. Okay? Because there's so many people that work for websites. It's a bunch of people who get together and vote. Like, people click on them, they get mad, you know, because their game's not there. Yeah, well, that's probably because like 50 people voted. It doesn't make it's like whatever. Who gives a shit? So even these, like, I'm thinking about maybe next week and the week after doing, you know, maybe top 10 sports games, top 10 racing games, top 10. Third-person shooters, top 10 first-person shooters, because all these games, like, and you know, a lot of these games that are in these genres, they're not the best game. It's just my favorite game, or the game that popped into my head, thought about it for a second, and I said, yep, that's the one. So I'm just gonna fucking start this bad boy off here. Make sure I'm still fucking recording. All right. Start this off. You know, we'll go, you know, I guess 10 to 1. Number 10, I have written down, and by that I mean typed, Gone Home. Gone Home is a game made by a few people who worked, or at least the lead, worked for 2K Games, I think. Or a rash. I don't know. They worked on Bioshock 2, I believe. And then they made a little... I don't even know what you call it. People call them walking simulators. It's a mystery. You walk around. You pick up clues. Try to figure out where your family went. You come home from college. I'm going to get into that game quickly in the podcast history here. So I'm not going to review it or anything. I'm not going to review any of these games, really, today, but, I don't really review games, but you know what the fuck I'm saying. I don't even want to say anything about it, honestly, because when I played it, I didn't know anything, and I think that fundamentally changes how people perceive this game. If you know the whole plot, then it kind of ruins it. But when I review it or when I talk about it, I will ruin the whole thing, but there will be massive spoiler warnings. Number 9 is Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. And I just did an episode about Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare 1. The new Modern Warfare is about to drop later this year, and I'm pretty excited for that. 2 episodes ago. So I'm not going to review that. It's on the list because the campaign was good. It was probably the first, it was like the first first-person shooter campaign that I actually cared about the characters and what was going on. So that was cool. Online was the big thing for me. Made some friends, had some good old times. And when they re-released it, I bought it. I've been playing it. Not the same. There's time and a place for everything, and it, some games stick in your head. Some games come out at the right time. Some games don't. That's why a lot of games slip under people's radars, whatever. But that's why it's at number 9. So there you go. Number 8 is Drive Club. Drive Club, I talked about episode 3 on this, in this podcast series. I love it because of the graphics. I love it because of the gameplay. I love it because of the sound effects. I love it because of the load times. I love it because of the fucking, just the way the challenges and the menus are set up. I love it because there was a shitload of free DLC. I love it. It's just so good. I just love it. It's definitely an arcade racer, dressed up like a simulation. It's absolutely worth getting. It's going to come off the PlayStation Store, I believe, next year. It's probably like 15, 10 bucks. You can probably get it used for like $5. Absolutely worth it. It was, you know, developed for the online drive club. You were supposed to have a club. You're supposed to do things with your club. I don't know if it really panned out, but I had fun playing it, mostly single player and just whatever. It's still worth it, I think. But I do believe it'd be worth buying the game for cheap as shit and then going and getting all the DLC before you can't get it anymore. I mean, you could probably get it for pretty cheap. If you got it at like a used store, I don't know, like $5, and then you go and you pay like what, 20 for like everything, all the cars, all the tracks, all the challenges. I don't know how the online and the servers are going to deal with that, but I don't know. It's worth it. So, Drive Club. Best weather effects still. Still one of the best looking games. Golly gee. Thanks, Shuhei. Oh, fucking shit. Okay, number 7. Drink responsibly. Metal Gear Solid 1. Or just Metal Gear Solid. I guess that was what you would call it. I did an episode on this as well. Let's see what episode number that was. You know what really pisses me off about my Mac? If you're on a web page or whatever, the slide bar. Because, you know, I don't use a mouse. And sometimes I use the Magic Trackpad. But I don't have rechargeable batteries. And batteries die. And I don't ever turn it off. And then I'm always having to change batteries. And I don't want to do that. So I use my drawing tablet, and as a mouse sometimes, but the fucking navigation bars on web page, you know, the little scroll bars, they disappear and I can't figure out how to get them to fucking stay on the fucking, oh Jesus. Anywho, let's see, what episode was that? Does it matter at all? No. No, it doesn't. But I'm going to tell you anyway. Oh, my God. How many episodes have I done? It doesn't. Fuck it. It's too late. It's done. Metal Gear Solid 1. PlayStation 1. It's probably one of the best games on PlayStation 1. I don't even know if that's hard to argue. Created a franchise that spans PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and 4 at this point. Ridiculous story in some of these games, but first one that started, and I mean the 3D version. I mean, I know there's other ones, but story's pretty compelling. Voice acting was good. Maybe a little cheesy at times, sure, but it was the 90s, and you know, good time. It's a little clunky. I was just listening to Sacred Symbols PlayStation podcast. And they were just talking about how it was, you know, you go back and play that game and it's like, ugh. But if you grew up with the game and you've played it many, many, many times, you can easily play those games still. It's like riding a bike. But I know what they were saying. They were saying, you know, you take a 15-year-old right now. Hey, you want to play Metal Gear Solid 1? And they start playing it. They're like, what? I can't. So I understand what they're saying. I still think it's fine. I was so, I play it every now and again. You know, every few years, I'll just play the intro and maybe get to Cyborg fight. Yeah, great characters, all that shit. Cool. Number six. I put the Resident Evil 2 remake, or remake 2. That came out this year, actually, and that's probably my game of the year, obviously. I platinumed it. I thought it was a perfect way to do a remake. In today's world, I thought, I mean, the graphics beautiful, the sound design's beautiful. I know a lot of people complain about shooting zombies so many fucking times, but I don't mind it because if they were easy to kill, it wouldn't really be a challenge. Zombies are slow. You shoot them in the head. You could probably beat the game using like 35 bullets against zombies, at least. I know there's other, you know, monsters and shit. But I didn't have a problem with that. I think the engine that they're using for this, it makes, I don't know. I just like the animations of the face. All the animations look pretty fucking damn good to me. Cutscenes are great. I like the inventory, everything. It's Resident Evil, but it's pretty. And it's, you know, it's Resident Evil 4. If Resident Evil 4 was good. Oh my God, what did I just say? Yeah, I know. No, Resident Evil 4 is good. It's just, again, you go back and try to play Resident Evil 4 right now. It's a little difficult. I would imagine. Walking, stop, turn, shoot, run to a corner. Say, it's not, I don't think it's as fun as people remember. I beat it like a shitload of times on the GameCube, so don't come at me. Number five, I put down Rezogun. I also had an episode about this, I believe. Rezogun is a twin-stick shooter made by Housemarque. It is incredible. It's my favorite game that they've made. It's the only twin-stick shooter that I absolutely love that I would even consider putting on a list like this. I might not have even have noticed it without Colin Moriarty. Shout out, Colin was right. He really evangelized this game, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. I was friends with him on, you know, the PlayStation Network, so I could see his score, and I would try to beat his score, and then I obviously did beat his score because I fucking played the shit out of this game, and he had a job where he had to move on from games, but I didn't. I said, I'm playing one game forever. So, yes, Rezogun. They updated it with some content. They had some cool features. I would love another one or added levels or whatever you want to do. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But incredible design, that game, and visuals. Everything's good. Everything's good. Number four. Let's see. How long have I gone? Number four is the Resident Evil 1 remake. Oh! So this one was easier for me to pick. I think I put Resident Evil 2 remake on there just because, like, I don't know. I was the thing that's just popping into my head. Like, what's going? I didn't know if I wanted to put 7 in there, Resident Evil 7. I haven't had enough time. I don't think I need to go back and play it. But I still think RE2. Like, if they make Resident Evil 8 third person, I'm not gonna have a problem. But anyway, the first remake on GameCube, and I will include the PS4 remaster. It's the same game, whatever. It's just a little prettier. It's the original Resident Evil with prettier graphics, same camera, same all that bullshit, with a couple added, you know, bosses and what have you, and just makes me think. Like, I've played that game so many times. I made fucking podcast about that too, but I think, again, it was another perfect way to remake that game. Now, when they remade it, it was on the GameCube. if you would have said, here's the original remake, but it's like the second remake, I don't know. I don't know what I would pick, because it's the tank controls and those cameras, they mean something to me. And I would know, or I would say to my a few of my friends, like, it's the way it is the way we want it. So, you know, I know one of my friends on Twitter, his favorite game of all time is Resident Evil 2, and he loves the remake. So I'd be curious. I should ask him if he would, if he would have preferred, well, yeah, see, you can't go back with hindsight. If they would have made it like the original remake, he probably would have loved it. But you know, I wouldn't change the second remake. It's pretty goddamn good. But yeah, the first remake, I played it several times. It's the reason I bought a GameCube. I bought it on PS4, platinumed it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Number three. We're in the top three now. I'll just recap. Gone Home, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare 1, Drive Club, Metal Gear Solid 1, Resident Evil Remake 2, Rezogun, the original Resident Evil remake, GameCube or PS4, and number three is Little Big Planet. Little Big Planet is a game that got me excited for the PlayStation 4. I thought it looked fun. Sackboy looked fun. Everything was cute and fun. I love the texture. Everything was like so textury. Like he's like the sack, but everything is like cardboard or fucking something. And he's just riding down a skateboard on a level and you're playing with friends. And then they're like, everything you see, you can make the level. I'm like, oh my God. I didn't make any good levels. I made a couple levels. One was funny. One was just trying to be good and it wasn't very good. But I liked making things with my friends. They would come over. Let's make a thing, like a stupid fucking rocket ship. Let's see what we can make the game do. That was fun to me. And, yeah, so that's number three. I'm not done talking about Little Big Planet, though. I will have an episode on Dreams. I haven't played it, but just thoughts and stuff. And it would tie into Little Big Planet a lot. Made by Media Molecule. Yeah, you can make your own levels, and then you can make your own objects for levels, and then give those objects to other people, and then they can put them in their levels. And it was Mario Maker before Mario Maker, and I thought, I don't know, it's really cool. It was very complicated, but I think you get a handle on it. The second one was even more complicated, and the third one was even more complicated, and I was like, I can't fucking be doing all this. So yeah, but that's one of those games, those desert island games, when people say, what would you bring to a desert island or a deserted island? Is it desert island or deserted island? What's the difference? Or is it so Little Big Planet, that's the one I would bring, because you can not only play the campaign, which was fantastic. Music's great. Sackboy's awesome. You can dance around with your arms, and you can wiggle your waist and smile and frown and do all these cute, adorable things. And then you can just make whatever you want. You could, I mean, it's infinite possibilities you could do. Well, according to the space on the, you can only put so many things in a level, so there's a cap. So, you know. I used to just make boxes, copy and paste them, as many as I could, and then drop them from the sky. And when they fell and started, like, the physics simulation started to, like, crumble the game, because it was, like, the frame rate went down to, like, 5 frames a second, and then they started just all deleting. Just dumb shit. But it was fun, and it's number three. Number two is Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. A lot of people hate it. They're wrong. Opinion's wrong. So how about that? No, I get it. I understand. There's 8 hours of cutscenes. None of it makes sense. A lot of crazy shit happens. It doesn't matter. I loved it, and I have an episode about it. And I'm not going to get into the reasons why I love it again and what it means to me, but I believe it's episode 18, I want to say. Well, I'm almost there, so let me fucking find out. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, 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 boop, beep, beep, boop, bop, bop, bop. Yeah, episode 18 is about Metal Gear Solid 4. Anyway, the game means a lot to me in more ways than one. And yeah, it's just, you know, a culmination of Solid Snake, his story. I've never probably been more anticipated for a game. I listened to the podcast that they had before the game came out. So, you know, it's really good. It's a good game. Octo Camo is still the best fucking thing in a game ever. It's just so good. I would love for that game to be remade in, like, the style of Metal Gear Solid 5. Updated graphics. Stuff like that. But we're never going to get that because Konami and... I wouldn't want it anyway. I wouldn't want to give my money anymore. You sons of bitches. Yeah, so Solid Snake's end of his adventure. Cutscenes were amazing. I would have watched 16 hours of that shit. I beat it like 8 times. And then they patched it with trophies. And I was like, I'm getting that. I don't have it. I still don't have it. It's hard to go back. It is hard to play, actually. It's not hard to play. It controls fine and everything, but you know, it's like so long. And then the trophies are just obnoxious. Just insanity. Not all. Like, I've gotten the hard ones. It's funny. I've done all the hard challenges. I told this before. I've done all the hard challenges. Now I have to play like a dumbass to get the trophy. I have to get all the emblems. Well, there's an emblem for being a dumbass. And you have to consume 8,000 health items and kill 50 bajillion fucking soldiers. And it's like, oh. So, we'll see if I ever get that. Number one on the list, if you listen to the show, which you don't, but if you did, you already know it's The Last of Us. It's the best game of all time for a variety of reasons, at least in my opinion. I know that it is not probably the best game of all time. But I think I've said this before. The Last of Us was a game that I always wanted to play. Even when I was a kid, I didn't know it. Playing games like Resident Evil 2 in those camera angles and in Resident Evil 3, just almost having to use your imagination of what's going on around you and what it would look like in 3D. That's what The Last of Us is. It's a game about, I don't know, relationships, but it's a game where everything came together for me. It didn't do anything new storytelling wise. I don't think it didn't do anything insane, but it did everything it did very well. The graphics, the cutscenes, the dialogue, the plot, the gameplay, the fucking inventory, the HUD or whatever, the fucking crafting system, everything came together perfectly for me. Even the online play was fun. Is fun. So yeah. Gone Home, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, Drive Club, Metal Gear Solid 1, Resident Evil 2 Remake, Resogun, Resident Evil 1 Remake, Little Big Planet 1, Metal Gear Solid 4, and The Last of Us. That is my top 10 as of today, Tuesday, August 6th, 2019. And like I said, yeah, this shit's interchangeable. But The Last of Us is definitely number one, no question. Metal Gear is number four, no question. Number four. Metal Gear 4, Metal Gear Solid 4 is number two, no question. Little Big Planet, don't know. I might be able to fucking swap the rest of these out. But 1 and 2 are etched in stone for me. So that is this week's episode. Thanks for listening. How about, if you want, you can find me on Twitter to tell me your top 10 or to tell me that I'm fucking wrong and my top 10 is bullshit. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about, do you? Just kidding. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter at PopConJacob. That's PopConJacob. All right, and thanks again, and I'll see you next week.